friends. I know it's been a while since I've posted a podcast. I do apologize for that. I figure I'd give you a little update. A lot of things have going on. One of the first things was I didn't realize how much energy this was going to require of me. And I didn't really have the energy at the time. I had just been starting new medications and they're still kind of working out the kinks. So it is definitely a process. So I didn't really have the energy for it that I thought I did. Reason number two why I was not consistent with it is I kind of got really self-conscious. I have a hard time listening to myself talk. I am aware that I have a bit of a lisp. It was something I did speech therapy in kindergarten for. It's something I'm very self-aware of, so I get very self-conscious about it. I know most people don't seem to hear it as much as I do, so it's kind of on me. It was something I was made fun of quite a bit as a child, so it's kind of still a little bit of a wound for me. And I know that with my first two podcasts, I kind of went off on a tangent because my brain doesn't really work in a linear fashion. It tends to skip and jump all around. So that's a lot of how I talk. I do have an outline, but really my brain says fuck it and just keeps going without me. So that is a little bit of a struggle for me. So I didn't know if this was something that people really wanted to listen to. So I kind of let that self-doubt creep into it. However, I do enjoy blogging. I do enjoy writing for the bipolarmama.com. The only problem is writing takes a lot more effort for me and a lot more focus. It's much easier for me to come up with an idea and just record me talking about it, than writing it. Sometimes my brain doesn't always translate well onto paper. Is something I'm working on. I would like to start writing more, but I feel like at this juncture, the podcast is best way for me to utilize what little spoons I have to do things. With that being said, today is May 1st. It is the beginning of Mental Health Awareness Month. So, we'll go ahead and I'm going to celebrate that all month long in an effort to help raise awareness for mental illness and help defeat the scourge that is stigma. With that being said, I plan on doing a 30-day mental wellness challenge both on my Instagram stories, which is instagram.com/Lauren, LAUREN, Coker, or underscore Coker, KOCHER. Or at my Facebook page at facebook.com/thebipolarmama, all one word. I will be doing something daily within reason, as long as I don't burn myself out, to try to share and help, communicate things that I do to help keep myself mentally well, things that other people do to keep themselves mentally well, and also share some of the things that I go through as a person who has a mental illness who's also, I wouldn't say high functioning, mostly functioning person, I guess would be the best way of describing that. Not really sure about that. But anyway, we're going to be doing that all month long. With that being said, I am looking forward to starting today's podcast. So today's topic is I'm going to talk about something that's really deeply personal for me, and it's why my illness makes me a crappy friend. I am terrible at relationships. I will be the first to admit it. I'm really hard at keeping friendships. Some of it is on my end, some of it is on other people's end, but overall, I feel like, I guess, past trauma and my illness itself plays into the fact why I have such a hard time keeping very close relationships. I will be honest, I am not very close to very many people. I am very much that friend of yours that is like around all the time and then all of a sudden kind of like fades into the background, disappears, and like a month later, like, oh man, I wonder what happened to so and so. That's me. And there are several reasons why that happens, and I'm going to go over them. So, first thing is consistency. I am shit at consistency, and this is kind of like an all-around problem for me. Some of it is just sheer lack of motivation, I guess. And some of it is spoon-driven. So if you're not if you're not familiar with the concept of spoon theory, do a favor and kind of Google it. It's kind of a weird way of measuring the level of energy a person has in a day to accomplish simple tasks. So socializing takes a lot of out of me. It's kind of like a battery. I'm sure you've seen memes about introverts around the internet. Like, that's very much me. I will gladly socialize, but when I'm done, I'm done. And I don't want to be around or talk. Like, I just want to strictly, like, fall into my own little bubble and decompress. And sometimes that can be for, like, a couple hours. It can be days. So, for instance, if I am at events, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like, socializing events, we're around people, we're in crowds, I'm talking to people, I'm meeting new people, all of that builds anxiety in me all through the week or through the weekend. I suffer from social anxiety. I have paranoia. So meeting new people is hard because I overthink on what to say. I don't do well understanding social cues all the time. I never know what if I'm saying, if I'm oversharing, or what I'm saying is not really appropriate for context, or people don't understand not to take me very seriously. I am very sarcastic. To the point where, once again, people don't always know how to take me because I'm not trying to be mean per se. It's just sometimes how I come across. I also have a hard time with facial expressions, so I'm not really good at keeping a straight face. So if you're saying something that I think is dumb, my face is going to say it. My mouth not, but my face will straight up disappear. Also, I have a hard time paying attention. So also things that happen to me is we may be in a conversation and if it can't keep my attention or it's been going on too long, my attention will fade off into the background. And while you're giving me this story of like, you know, tragedy, heartbreak, and I actually do empathize with you and I feel bad for you, my brain sometimes will kind of just drift off the road. And while you're talking about how, you know, the tragedy of your grandmother dying, I notice there's a bird in the background building a nest. It's not intentional. and it kind of makes me seem like a bit of an asshole. I do try very hard to focus on things as a task at hand, but I don't always do so well. So a lot of times by the time a weekend comes, I'm so filled with anxiety and I'm exhausted from like wearing the skin of normalcy, I guess would be a way of describing it, that I completely shut down. Like, I get home, my house is my safe space. It's my favorite place to decompress. I will crawl into my bed. My dog will crawl into my lap and I will disappear down a hole of YouTube, Netflix, Facebook, Instagram, and a book, something. I will just disappear and I don't want to deal with anyone. I don't want to have conversations. Like, I just straight up want to shut down and disappear because that's what I need to do to just be whole again. Which there are people who don't understand the concept, so they think I am just ghosting them, and it's not that I mean, technically I am, but there's purpose to it. It's because I don't have the energy to continue this on, so then I disappear, I fall off the map, whatever, and I don't exist for a while. A lot of people tend to take that the wrong way because they think it's something personal, or they think that maybe they did something, and it's not that at all. So there's that. Another example of why I tend to be a crap friend is I have slight paranoia. I actually, when I'm off my meds, I have real bad paranoia. So I think a little of this is a mix between having bipolar disorder and anxiety and PTSD and being picked on in high school. Well, I was basically picked on from kindergarten up until I graduated high school. Like, my entire school career, I was bullied the entire time, like, constantly. It was not until college till I kind of realized that, like, I put way too much weight into what other people thought of me, and that these people had no actual say on who I am and had no way of actually defining who I was. So it took a very long time. I mean, I'm in my 30s now, and it's really coming to pass. I think pretty much everyone kind of goes through that uncertainty. It's hard when you're being bullied, because it adds another layer of insecurity. So I have a hard time fitting into groups. A lot of it is probably in my head that I know. So what usually happens, and I'll give you kind of like a prime example. I will find a group of people. We will get together. I'll enjoy them, you know, that we really click. And then usually what happens is about a depression will hit. And depending on how far deep, I kind of just disappear. I fall off the face of the planet. I don't answer people. I just kind of ghost the world. And that is just how my depression works. I come out of my depression and I'm feeling better. And that group's still around, but I have myself convinced that that group kept moving while I was in my state of depression, so I no longer fit in said group. And I don't think I'm actually welcome to said group, even though a lot of people are like, oh, no, you know, it's fine, you're always welcome. There's always that odd dissonance of when you're a part of a group and then you come in, because then all of a sudden, like, there's all these things that happened and they're talking about all these things that happened when you weren't around and you have nothing to add to the conversation. So then you kind of feel like this weird outsider looking in, and you're kind of like the new kid all over again. And it's hard. It's also why I hated the first day of school, because I didn't have a lot of friends, and what little group of friends I had in school, I only saw them in school. So like when summer would come by, come back around, and I'd have to start over, and I would just be a big ball of anxiety. Like, nothing, there's no day I dreaded more than the first day of school. And it wasn't because I was going back to school, because I love school. It was the idea of having to re-socialize and re-engage these people all over again. Mass anxiety, whole life. Like, I hated the first day of school. And I'm still to this day that way with groups. I have a very hard time feeling like I'm on the inside. I have always felt on the outside. I've always been pushed to the outside when I was going through school. So I think my brain has just convinced myself that I'm always on the outside. I'm very much a take it or leave it person. I have no time for like fake friendships or bullshit or something like that. So like I very much take it or leave it. But I have a weird thing with all relationships that, like, I pretty much can disconnect from anyone and move on. And it makes me feel and seem like a very cold person, because I do crave that social interaction. Like, I like interacting with people, but I don't know how to connect with people on a deeper level. Which is really hard for me, because you see these groups of girls and guys and friends, you know, mixed genders, non-binary, however you choose to identify, these groups of folks, and they're so close and they do all these things together. And like in my head, I want that, but I don't want that. And it's hard to explain. Like, I want to be included, but sometimes I don't have the energy to include myself, but I want that available option. Like, always like, oh my God, you know, when you're feeling up for it, we can go do something. But we understand that when you can't, you can't. And I do have a group of friends like that. It's just taking my brain time to convince itself that it's real and it's not like, oh, they're just saying that. Because like I said, that kind of falls back to the paranoia. Like when I was in school, people would pretend to be my friends and it was like all this big joke, you know, just so they could make fun of me. And so I have a very severe distrust of people. I was in an abusive relationship at one point who, you know, he would take things that I tell him in confidence as a way of opening up and sharing and use that as a way to control me. So it's another reason why I kind of guard myself so closely, because I'm afraid of manipulation like that. But it makes me feel very lonely. And it's weird because there's so many communities that I actually belong to. But your brain sometimes convinces that it's not real, that these, they're fleeting, they're temporary, they're not of anything of substance, that, you know, they involve you, but you don't really belong, or you've been gone too long, you can't go back. And it's heartbreaking because, like I said, you crave for that realness, but your brain likes to tell you otherwise. So then you disappear and you flake, which is another thing. You know, I often appear to be flaky because I want to do these things. I want to be a part. There's this person who I so desperately want to be a part of. I want to be a part of these groups, and something gets in the way. For instance, my depression, or, you know, my paranoia or my anxiety, and I fall from the group, and I kind of give this concept of, well, I can't be depended on because, well, yes, she says she's going to go and I have all intentions of going, and then when I wake up that morning, I can't. And it sucks because you don't even trust yourself, because you feel like it is easier to be alone than consistently let people down. So you close in on yourself and you feel it's better just to keep these people as acquaintances, as online friends, or anything that you, I don't know how to properly word it, instead of having these real relationships, because you're just going to let them down anyway. Because as much as people say that they understand, after a point it kind of gets old. And I get it. I get frustrated with people who do it to me. So I completely understand with people who get frustrated with me. The consistent disappointment. I get it. But like I said, there's, while I am working on not doing it as much anymore, it's a process, you know. This is my whole life. It is something I'll deal with for the rest of my life. And it's a lot of work, but it's really for those who have the patience to deal with it, and not too many people do. So you end up being alone, and it's really tough when you're in those real times where you're hard down, because you don't want to feel like the burden, because you feel like the only time you reach out to someone is when you feel like you're falling, and you don't want anyone to feel like they're being used. And it really, it's crushing sometimes, I'll be honest. I don't want to be alone. And I see all these groups kind of, I mean, people move on. It's just how we are. And they have these groups and they do all these things, and you kind of just sit on the sidelines and watch it happen. And you wish more than anything that you could be a part of that, but you know better, because it's never going to last. It'll just fall apart. And I wish I had some sort of answer to how to make it better. Like, oh, you could be more consistent. But like, those are lies you tell yourself. It really comes down to finding a group of people who really understand how you work and function, and them being willing to work with you on that. I do have one friend. We have been friends since I was in high school. We've been friends forever, and we will go days without talking to each other, and then we'll start talking to each other, and then we'll go days without talking to each other, and we go back and forth. That's the way our relationship has always been. Like, I disappear, she disappears, but we're still friends. And I have another group of friends, which they're coming to understand how this works, and they're kind of always there in the waiting. But there's always that fear in my own head that they're not always going to be there in the end. And, you know, I don't want to ramble too much. There's all these people I meet in person and on Facebook and stuff, and I would love to be their friends in real life, but the anxiety doesn't allow me to do so. There's so many people that I want to reach out to, and I think, oh my God, like, we so, like, I Facebook stalk the shit out of people, and I know it's creepy and weird. I get it. I am like, I am the weird liker, okay? I'm a lurker in groups. I will like your posts. I love your posts of your kids and stuff, but I won't comment on anything, or I won't message you or anything, but I'll just continue to, like, lurk on your stuff, and it's complete creeper. I get it. I am a creeper. I am not ashamed of my lurker status. But it's all my brain will allow me to do up until that point, because I'm so afraid that I will become across like some sort of weirdo, like, oh my God, it was so cute when your kid did this last year, and I, you know, they got so big, and like, oh my God, you know, going on and on. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, I've never talked to this person in real life, yet somehow she knows that in college I had a crush on so-and-so. It's because I've been stalking for years, and now I'm a fucking weirdo. So I choose just not to say anything, because I don't know how to bridge that gap. I personally don't know how to approach people to make friends. Every single friend I have had has approached me and friended me. I don't know how to friend people. So if you're someone out there who's like, oh my God, I would love to be friends with her, don't expect me to reach out to you, because it's fucking not going to happen. It's just not. You're going to have to reach out to me, which is another reason why I'm shitty at being friends, because not everyone wants to be the person who wants to reach out, or there's someone in the that is in the same position as me who's waiting for me to reach out, and I'm waiting for them, and it's just not going to happen. I am not an everyday friend. I would like to be. I'm getting there, but it's going to take time. I don't really have any solutions, and I don't really think this is what this podcast is about. I'm not here to offer you guidance. I mean, I can, there are things I can give you guidance, but I just want to share that, my hope is that someone listens to me and like, oh my God, fuck me too. This is exactly how I am. And maybe give you that small inkling hope of realizing that there's so many more of us. And maybe one day we can gather in a room and awkwardly stare at each other from afar and think maybe in 10 years we'll be friends. And it'll be this beautiful moment that we can all have for just a second, realizing, hey, I am not alone in the world, and how my brain functions. That making friends doesn't come to easy to everyone, and keeping relationships is really, 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 really hard for some people, like mentally draining hard for people, and that you're not alone. So I'd like to thank you once again for listening to my podcast. You can find me on Instagram.com/Lauren_Coker, and also on Facebook at facebook.com/thebipolarmama.com. You can also follow my blog, thebipolarmama.com, and follow this podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast so you can hear things in future and share with your friends.